Hello, it's the morning after. It's John Givens hosting again today, and I'm joined by Lizzie Doyle and Paul Hogan to talk about last night's game, look ahead to tonight's game, and also a little chat about Liverpool, some stories that have come out from some Jurgen Klopp quotes. He's doing a few interviews at the moment, as you can imagine, so we'll do a little bit on that as well. But first of all, yeah, we'll start with last night's game, and it was Amazon, so it was lovely to have Ali McCoist in our ears talking about Crystal Palace 0, Burnley 1. It was an interesting one. It's another game that was 0-0 at half time, but Ben Mee's first goal in 113 Premier League appearances wins it for Burnley. First of all, Palace, Lizzie, I thought they were poor, actually. Obviously, we battered them, but they'd had a decent run up to them, but they just didn't get going at all until after the goal. And then, even then, they were, I don't know, I just didn't really see much from them.
No, I didn't think they were very good either. I think Zaha was really quiet. I wondered if he's like still picking up an injury, like if he's still got an injury.
Yeah.
I think Burnley wanted it more than Palace, if I'm being honest. And I mean, they rolled out a stat, didn't they? I can't remember in the first half, which was the lowest scoring team at a home ground other than Norwich. And that surprised me. That when all you heard about was, oh, Selhurst Park's usually rocking, Selhurst Park's usually this, when actually they've got a fairly poor record there at home this season. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't think they were offering much at all. And I when we played them, I thought that was just because we were just dead boss. But it turns out they're actually a bit shit.
I mean, you know, let's not disparage ourselves, Hogan, too quickly in this show anyway. I agree with Lizzie. I don't think Zaha was fit. He went off against us, didn't he? It felt like he'd sort of wheeled him out. He didn't look right at all. But generally, Palace, just a bit toothless. And, you know, I saw that at the end of the first half, Burnley had had more possession. I thought there can't be many times Burnley have gone away from home somewhere and had more of the ball.
No, I've got my mate's a Burnley, well, say he's a Burnley fan. He was a Villa fan at uni and then now he's a Burnley fan.
It's interesting.
He obviously
shit, Glory Hunton.
Just likes a bit of claret. But he was talking, so I've been talking to him a bit about Burnley and what's going on there and stuff like that. And he said, so it's the first time with Burnley that Dyche has been critical of the board. If you looked at Burnley's bench, they were, you know, I didn't recognise a name on the bench there, and he's been quite critical of them. So I think he, as a Burnley fan, and the Burnley fans were a bit, look, you know, they were playing against a team that they're sort of in direct competition with, and I don't think they had any great deal of confidence going into the game. But Palace, as you say, were poor. I mean, Hodgson's built a team there in his sort of status, status, hasn't he, and what he does, and you know, he can defend reasonably well, and you've got a couple of players who can do something a bit clever, but if they're not with it, then they're going to struggle, aren't they? That's where they're at, really. They are what they are, Palace, I think. As a Burnley fan, my mate was quite pleased with the way they played, and he let them off the leash a little bit last night. So it's interesting times, I think, with Burnley, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Sean Dyche after the game, Lizzie, and, you know, it doesn't look like everything's suddenly, you know, sunshine and roses there. There's still obviously issues off the field, and he's still talking about, you know, there's still a bit of unhappiness, I think, with what's going on, sort of during COVID and the situation around a couple of the players who are out of contract. But that all said, you know, they've bounced back remarkably well, I think, from that Man City game where, you know, look, anyone can get B5 by Man City. They're such a good side. But, you know, the way they were talking after the game and the way it looked, and like Hogan says, the bench. But since then, you know, they've gone back to good old Burnley basics. They've won two games, 1-0, and they're up to eighth now. And that's, you know, a brilliant achievement for the squad they've got and the budget they've got.
Yeah, it is. It's a great achievement. And like I say, I was looking at that. I haven't really watched much of Burnley, bar a little bit of that Man City game, but I've probably done what most people done, went, oh, let's see if they get something, and then the inevitable happens and turned it off. But last night, I didn't know the squad was that thin, to be honest. They've done well with what they've got. I think as well, for Burnley, their main outlets, the most important players in that squad, both of them are injured. Like, there was no Chris Woods and there was no Ashley Barnes for them. And I think like they rely on that, don't they? They rely on crosses from the box, they rely on the big men up front, and they didn't have that. And I think you could tell, I think they were lacking. I think, what was the lad's name up front? Is it Vidra or Vidra?
Yeah.
Just not the same. And yeah, they done well to get the results, and I think they actually deserved the results, and it was a great header, by the way. There was a lot of chat about the keeper on the commentary, but I actually think it was a great header. I think it was a little bit harsh to pull the keeper. I think it was a fairly tough save to make. That's just my opinion. But yeah, no, they have done well. But tell you what, I felt sorry for Gabby Logan trying to big the game up, saying it could be a fight for Europe. I mean, I was like, it's not going to be a fight for Europe, is it? Let's be honest. But like, to be honest, for the likes of Burnley, like, this is where we're really lucky as Liverpool. For the likes of Burnley, who are, you know, a small club, really, one place in the Premier League does make a difference to them financially. And I think, like, we take that for granted. And the likes of, like, we talk about, say, Everton finishing in like 8th or 7th or whatever, it doesn't matter if they're not in Europe, but for someone like Burnley, you know, every place matters, and fair play to them for fighting for it.
Yeah, and on the goal, Hogan, we've always got the goalkeepers union on here, so centre-halves union, great header.
I'd have it all day. I thought it was a crap header. If it was on the other team, I probably would be questioning the goalie, but cracking header. And to be fair, I like that lad. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's shown over over a couple of seasons, me, that he's a good player. He's probably the better of the two that, you know, it was picking between him and the lad that Everton got. I think he's he's a better player than him. The other lad at Burnley, McNeil, I've always thought he's a decent player as well. It'd be interesting where his ceiling is, because he's always looked like he's got a little bit about him. He's probably, you know, they had the two big lads, as Lizzie said, missing, and they had Goodmanson, who's also, you know, he's got a bit of a creative spark for them. He was missing as well, so I bet a lot of it was coming through McNeil. And you know, even to the point where they weren't playing 4-4-2 really, Burnley, which I don't think that's ever been done before in a dice side. So it was interesting that even with that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, he's obviously trying to look at what's next for that Burnley side, because you know, they've got a lot of players who are aging. They don't seem to be signing these players up. It looks like Hendricks might be going to AC Milan. That was the last thing I saw.
Really? Wow. Get his agents.
It might not be true, but that was one of the things I read. And obviously, like, the likes of Lennon is going to go as well, isn't he? So they've got a bit of a rebuild to do on the sly, Burnley, and, you know, without a great deal of a budget to do it. So I think he's got a job on his hands, and that's obviously why he's posturing with the board a little bit at the minute. And it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do with such a small budget. You know, he's done miracles there so far, but can he continue to do miracles? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, we shall see. Just a final word on Ben Mee, Lizzie. We just had a bit of a chat about him there, me and Hogan, about his goal and his level, but just his captaincy throughout this period, you know, is well worth praising, you know, on and off the pitch, really. You know, he was so impressive after that City game, talking about the banner, and, you know, that's a tough thing to do, to criticise your own supporters effectively, you know, just after 90 minutes of chasing Sergio Aguero and his mates around as well, to speak like that. I thought, you know, he was excellent. And then this on the pitch, you know, they are down to the bare bones a little bit, but it's a brilliant defensive display from him, and he's popping up with the goal as well. He's leading on and off the pitch for them.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was quite fitting, wasn't it, that he was going to get the goal, and he did get the goal. And I think he's been brilliant. I mean, I remember I was watching it on the telly live when he come on, and it was, you know, he took it upon himself to bring it up. He didn't wait for the presenter to bring it up, and he made sure that he was making it clear exactly what he thought on behalf of not just him, but the players as well, and probably the manager and the whole club. Like, he took that upon himself to be that man, to be that spokesperson, to you know, display is also discussed basically at what has happened and condemn it. And I just think, like, he's shown so much resilience, and he seems like he's a brilliant captain for the club. And I think I'm with Paul. I've seen a fair bit of him over the years. He's one of those quite, like, consistent players. I think he's always there. He's always starting for them. And like I say, I was made up that it was him that got the goal after everything. He'd come out and said, "Super Black Lives Matter" the other week.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So as I say, Burnley win eighth, and who knows? Who knows where they can go this season? But whatever they've done, Sean Dyche again has done a remarkable job there. But we'll see, as Hogan says, what the future holds for them. So moving on to tonight's game, then there's only one game tonight in the Premier League. It's Brighton v Manchester United. We'll be on hot mic doing it. Just while I remember, myself and Neil, really looking forward to it. Jumping back on the hot mic first time since Thursday night, and we already remember what happened then. I can't promise this will be quite as eventful as that. I mean, Liverpool definitely won't win the league at the end of it, but we will be league champions, and I'm sure that'll come up. But yeah, Brighton v Manchester United on hot mic tonight. Do come and join us and download the app if you haven't already. Brighton up to 33 points now, with seven games left, only three less than what they stayed up with last season. They've been good, Hogan, since the break. I was a little bit worried about them in that they had a poor 2020. Obviously, the chairman was making noises about trying to get the whole thing called off in terms of relegation, which suggests that his confidence wasn't sky high. But they've beaten Arsenal. They've drew away at Leicester since the lockdown. And they should be safe now, shouldn't they? You know, I mean, they'll want a couple more wins, but in terms of looking at what's below them and how they're struggling, Brighton with seven games left should be fine.
Yeah, I think they're safe now. I think everyone expected them to struggle this season, and a few people wanted them to struggle after what happened to Houghton in the summer. And, you know, I thought it was quite harsh on him to go. But to be fair to Potter, he's not done a bad job to be in the position he's in now, to be looking at, you know, to be reasonably safe at this point, and actually to be playing some half-decent football some of the time, which was one of the criticisms they got over the last few years. I was looking at like some of the stats for today. United haven't beaten them at home since 1982, they've already played three times, but they haven't beat them since 1982. So I think there's... Like talking about United and where this goes from here, I think obviously people think with United that people have forgot what a season United have had. So I think people are thinking this is a game that United will walk, but actually they have struggled against Brighton, and they have struggled this season. They've come back after the pandemic, you know, and the games being called off quite well. But I think this will be a tough game for them tonight. I think Brighton are a decent side who can defend reasonably well. I think they've got a reasonable record in terms of clean sheets as well. So I expect a tough game. I'd love to say an exciting game. I'm not so sure, but I'm sure you can make it more exciting.
we'll have a go, mate. We'll have a go. It is a tough game for Man United, Lizzie, especially as Brighton should be fresher. They've had a week off since that Leicester game that I mentioned. Man United played 120 minutes on Saturday against Norwich, played a strong team, obviously being able to make a few more subs now and things like that. But they're going to have to rotate, aren't they? And there might be a few they can't rotate to. You might have tired legs, and that should help Brighton a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think the fact that United went for it does. And it was, like you say, it was a tough game. Went into extra time, didn't it? And then... They should fancy the chances, really. And I didn't think I'd be saying that about Brighton, because like you say, they have had a poor year. I've not been impressed with them at all, and it wouldn't have surprised me if they went down, but it looks like they're not going down now. But the thing is I've thought United since the break have looked all right as well. I think they've even had a bit of an improvement. It's probably to do with the fact that Paul Pogba was actually a good player and he's playing. So I think it will be tough for United, but it wouldn't surprise me if they managed to nick it. I think I've got United down as being the one to nick fourth, I think. I don't know why. I just feel like it's going to happen this season. I just think there's a little bit about them, like I say, since they've come back. So I think Brighton, I think it might be... I don't think they're as bad as Arsenal, do you know what I mean? I think like they were... I don't think United will have a performance like that.
Yeah, it's interesting one, Hogan, because we don't know yet what's needed. You know, we talk about the battle for fourth. It could be the battle for fifth. And we might not even know at the end of the season who's qualified for the Champions League and who hasn't. I don't know cast time scales. I do apologise. I barely know our schedule, to be honest with you. But Lizzie just tells me what to do, and I'm fine with it. But... yeah, it's whatever it is, 4-4-5 United are right in there now. They need obviously a win tonight to catch Wolves, who've gone ahead of them, albeit played the game more. But with Leicester starting to struggle as well, it's getting really tight third down, and Manchester United are right in there, and they'll feel like they've got a bit of momentum.
Yeah, definitely. I think they've come back, you know, apart from City. City looked the strongest, didn't they, when they first came, the games first sort of recommenced, but United have looked reasonably strong. He seems to have got a bit of rhythm within the team. He seems to have a bit of consistency in what he's playing, and a few lads seem to have shown up for him, you know, i.e. Pogba, but also Martial. He's had the blessing of the break for Rashford to be back for him, which has obviously been a really good thing. And at the moment at United, it seems like all's a little bit rosy and everything's been forgotten. It's like a new season for them. The break, in a way, has come at the right time for them and give Solskjaer an opportunity to sort of like take stock a little bit. And he now seems to be like he really is the chosen one all of a sudden, and United seem to be backing him. I know some fans did anyway. Whether, you know, I still think there's massive question marks over whether Solskjaer's good enough to do this job, but things seem to be going well for him at the moment. And you know, and there is some really quality players there, isn't there? There's no doubt that, you know, some of them lads are really good players if you can get them to actually play together. So I fancy Chelsea to be there, and I think Leicester and Wolves are both going to have questions to ask, but I think United might just be finding a level of consistency in this run-in that might get them there now.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, but we shall see, are you watching it tonight, Lizzie, do you think? You're going to tune in? You're going to be on hot mic?
to be honest, I probably will watch this one. It's still something I'm, like, even though United are shit now, I think, like, it's one of those things where you're still curious about watching them and seeing how they get on, so I probably will. Watch. So if you're not going as mad as you were on Thursday, I'll be disappointed. I want all the pressure on you when Brighton are breaking and everything like that, and I want to hear their fireworks.
I'll have a word with the neighbours, see if they've got any left. The last thing I want to do is just to talk a little bit about Liverpool, and there's an article that Andy Hunter's done in today's Guardian, which is around some quotes about from Jürgen Klopp. Jürgen Klopp's obviously doing quite a few interviews at the moment as the manager of the English Premier League champions. And, you know, he's been asked about the summer and asked about transfers because we're never far away from that. And he's used an interesting word, which is that COVID could pause Liverpool's transfer plans, and that's an interesting one. I mean, nothing in there is particularly new. I wouldn't say, Lizzie, we knew that the coronavirus was going to have an impact on what Liverpool were able to do this summer because they've talked about it before. But that word pause interests me, and that suggests that we might just be saying to a few players, look, can you just hang on? And so these ones that we've been tracking for a long time, the ones we know about, maybe a couple that we haven't as well, you know, we might just be saying to the likes of Jadon Sancho, for example, look, we're still really interested, we still really like it, it's just going to be hard this year, so could you just sort of hang on? Obviously, Timo Werner wasn't prepared to wait another summer, which is fine, is understandable, you know, after what happened to him last year with Bayern Munich. He's already said his goodbyes once and gone back, so he probably just feels like a nomad at the party who never leaves. We know a few of them, don't we, Hogan? But you know, but for a few of the others, that word pause is interesting for me, and it just shows that you'd always think, well, who are Liverpool buying this summer? Whereas for Liverpool, they're thinking more of long-term targets. They're thinking more of who you'd like to buy when the time is right, and it just feels that maybe this summer the timing won't be right for anyone.
Yeah, the word pause is interesting, isn't it? I think it just shows you as well, like, football is a part of this, of all the uncertainty that we feel, whether it's your own business, whether it's in your own life, like, they're uncertain about it as well, and they have no idea what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen next season. And the thing is, it's like, it's amazing, because I was thinking about the Timo Werner stuff. I was like, you're not having it. I was like, you're not telling me that they couldn't pay that money, that they make millions of pounds, whatever, but actually, like, it probably has been hit quite hard by the fact that there's no match day revenue and this, that and the other. And I mean, their employees alone, the 22 players are probably on about £1 million a month as an outgoing, and that's without the baseball stuff, isn't it, in the company. So it didn't surprise me to read that, but I do think you're right, it is interesting about some saying pause. Some, I think, like, I haven't really thought about transfers until like now, this morning, until I read that article, and I'm just like, I'm still on a high. I'm still thinking about this team being the one to go next season. And I think that's because as well, next season's going to creep up really quickly on us, that we won't even have time to think about, oh, we didn't get a cover left back, or we didn't get another one for the front three or whatever. And the thing is, I'll say I trust the manager, because I think he's, tell you what, he's got it right so far, hasn't he? So if he believes he can make it through next season with this squad, then I believe him.
He seems very relaxed about it all, doesn't he, Hogan? Genuinely relaxed about it. And I think there's two things at play there. One, you know, I think he's been on record and says that he doesn't worry about things that don't concern him, and that's how he gets through life. And it's not a bad way for all of us to live, really. You know, if he can't influence it, then he doesn't bother with it and concentrates on what he can. And he seems to be having that attitude. But also, as he rightly says, A, he's got a really good squad, and B, you know, these young lads are coming through. It's an opportunity for them. And, you know, we saw from Nico Williams, you know, when he came on against Crystal Palace, what a fantastic player he was. We've seen stuff from Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott to suggest more of the same. Apparently, he was watching Rian Brewster on Saturday when he'd given everyone else a day off, but he wanted to sort of check out how Rian was doing. You know, we can't sort of forget about him, and now he's got a couple of goals since the restart. And so there's talent there, isn't there? And we've got a manager who will use them, and he just seems to have, you know, faith in them, faith in what's going on, and he'll just crack on whatever.
I think there's three interesting things when it comes to the transfer stuff. One is the talent that he's got. And, like, I've always sort of been quite an optimist when it's come to the young players coming through at Liverpool. And obviously so many over the years haven't sort of made it to the level that we thought they would. But this group of lads really do look a real special talent, you know, talent. And this could be a real opportunity that maybe would never have occurred before for some of these lads, because we aren't able to build a squad in the way maybe we would have. So I think there's probably five or six lads there who'll be looking, going, you know, I've got a real chance to cement my place in the squad here and get, you know, some serious appearances. And hopefully he'll use the end of this season to sort of start to blood these even more than he already has, because he has given them opportunities already. I think the other part might be that actually we've got a lot of lads who are coming to sort of peak end of the career, and from a business point of view, there might have been some pressure from, although I think Klopp will always be able to make them final decisions, there might have been some pressure from the club to generate income on some players who we might never be able to generate the same income on again. You know, the likes of your Wijnaldums, even your Mane, Salah, Firminos, they're all at that age where you're never going to make as much money back on them on a transfer fee as you will right now. And then the third one is, when he talked about Sancho, he talked about him in a way that I've never heard him talk about a player that's not a Liverpool player before. You know, this idea of him looking great in a Liverpool shirt, but it might not be able to happen. It was very, that idea of a pause, that was very much part of that discussion. So as much as I was disappointed when we never got Werner, and I think there was a real logical business case to buy Werner, because he was a £100 million player as soon as you bought him in a different market. I'm quite excited about the idea that actually some of these lads could be better than Wayne. They could be better, you know, they have got that kind of ability. And it'll be interesting to see how much opportunities they get between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, just finally on this, Liz, he talks about uncertainty as well, and he talks about the fact that, look, no one knows what's going on at the moment, but things might change quite quickly. Like he says, well, you know, we don't know when the transfer window even is yet, so maybe towards the end of this transfer window, there might be sort of, you know, so he's not completely ruling anything out, is he? He's just saying, look, how can we possibly know? And I think that's fair enough, isn't it? You know, he doesn't want to make promises either way that he sort of can't keep at the moment. You know, we don't know how long this situation is going to go on. We don't know how long, you know, this economic situation is going to go on with for the football club. And so, you know, he's more saying, look, let's all wait and see, but don't panic, rather than like, we're not buying anyone for 12 months.
you know what, it wouldn't surprise me if he pulls one out the bag, you know. I know we always go back to Fabinho, but I just think, like, I think Klopp sort of tells the truth. And I think if he rules something out, that means it's not happening. And I think the fact that, like you say there, he's not ruled this out means that doesn't mean that we're not going to sign anybody. Now, that might not be a Jadon Sancho, it might not be Mbappe or whatever, but it could be that he's got his eye on another sort of Andy Robertson type figure, which is, you know, a fullback in the Championship who's worth about 10 million and is someone who they can afford. And I think, don't forget as well, like, we're probably going to see a good few players leave. And I think, like, you'll see me. I thought the likes of Lovren and stuff would leave, but then again, now in this climate, I'm thinking, well, if he can't sign anybody, he'll want to keep him. But I do think we'll see some players leave, the likes of Nathaniel Clyne going, isn't he? Probably Harry Wilson will probably go. So they'll make up money there. And I think what we've seen with FSG is that they don't really spend big unless they make the money back. So I think let's see what happens there and see what they get from that pot of money of the sort of fringe players, if you want to call it that. And then that might be the money that he uses to then go and spend for some, like, one player that we need to improve the squad.
We shall see. Huge thanks to Lizzie and to Paul for joining me. As I say, do join us on Hot Mic tonight if you're watching it. It should be good fun. And obviously, we'll be back with this show tomorrow. But in the meantime, yes, thanks again to Lizzie and Paul. Thanks to you for tuning in. That's been The Morning After for another day. Have a beautiful day wherever you are.